News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And it is Bowerly with you, and this hour is brought to you by Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars are the indulgent break you deserve in your day. Have you tried the dark chocolate, peanut, and almond flavor? Now that's a sit on the dock and take a moment kind of bar. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars. All right, so a couple of things on the agenda. Number one, do you expect the Buffalo Diocese to follow Rochester and declare bankruptcy down the line? That's kind of a side question. I'm guessing that most of you are not attorneys, but I thought I'd throw it out there. And most importantly, with everything that is going on within the Catholic Church, do you consider yourself still to be a proud Catholic? Have you left the church? Have you joined the church? Are you still what you were when you were growing up and making your first communion and confirmation and all those things? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. How big a role in your life does your church or your faith play? Let's get back to the calls on WBEN and bring aboard Tom in Lockport. Tom in Lockport, you're on WBEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
The Roman Catholic Church is a hierarchical structure. It always has been. It always will be. They have no, they can't clean up their own act internally because it's also the wink and a nod club. Priests are going to be very reluctant to sign any letter which is going to compromise themselves when they know that somebody's going to come in here and have control over their potential future. The Catholic Church cannot clean up its own act. They've proven that by virtue of the history over the past several years. They haven't done it by far now. They're not going to do it in the future. It's just the way the system works. No priest is going to sign a letter when a new bishop is going to be coming in here knowing that they ultimately have control over their future.
So, in other words, it's the old, you don't want to be marked as a rebel. You don't want your head to stand above the heads of others around you.
Because they can't. They're, as you know, they've been passing priests around from diocese to diocese, from parish to parish. They're all guilty of it. They're doing it all over the country, and they've been doing it. And nobody has come forward, and it continues to go on and on. It doesn't get any better. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You know that. You and Tom have been covering this for, or Mr. Bellavia have been covering this for a long time. It hasn't gotten any better. I haven't been a practicing Catholic in years. Because it's always been the do as I say, not as I do club. Does anything prove that more than what's going on now?
So is that why you left the Catholic faith?
Do as I say, not as I do.
But that's the reason why you saw a glaring hypocrisy there, and that's why you left?
One of many.
Are you anything now?
School all my life. I went to Catholic school all my life, and so I was brought up within the system.
I'm curious, are you anything now? Like, did you become a Lutheran or something?
No, nothing. I don't believe in a structured church.
Are you agnostic, atheist? Would you describe yourself as spiritual?
I would describe myself as spiritual, but again, I don't think that any faith, I don't need faith to be a good person. I grew up within the system. I think I'm a good person. I think I reciprocate. I'm good to my fellow man, and I think that's as important as having a structured faith within a system. I don't happen to believe within the system.
And you don't expect that many priests are going to be signing this Ziliax letter for fear of what might happen in the future?
Oh, I don't think they don't have the ability to sign it because of what's going to happen to them if they tell on their own. It's never happened up until now. I guess what my biggest concern and understanding, I wanted to call a couple of days ago, didn't have the opportunity, when you were talking about the fact that we weren't prosecuting anybody. Well, we weren't, as you know, and Channel 7 had the letters from, what was it, the 8 area district attorneys who wrote letters saying that they would not prosecute people within the diocesan church. And they signed a letter to that effect. How many years ago? They all signed a letter and said they wouldn't prosecute people within the church.
Well, not, and the reason was what?
I guess that's a question we don't know.
I mean, I presume it was because of statute of limitation issues. And, I mean, the older a case is, the harder it is to prove. Statute of limitation or no statute of limitation, evidence gets forgotten, evidence gets lost, evidence gets malplaced. But I think those days are... Yeah, you know, those days are certainly over, at least on the civil side. Not that it's going to help anybody who was victimized way back when. Let's go to Dolores in Hamburg. Dolores, you're on WBEN.
Thank you, Tom. This is informative. I think what is going on is beyond vile, beyond. But here's the information I want people to know. In 1953, there was a woman by the name of Bella Dodd, who was a communist, who testified before the Congress of the United States of America that she personally had placed 1,200 homosexuals into the Catholic Church to destroy the priesthood and the episcopacy. Is that an excuse? No. But that is something that has happened, and you can never satiate a sexual appetite that is perverted, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual. And we know that by what things are going on. But I want people to know the reason she testified in front of the Congress of the United States of America was because Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen converted her to Catholicism. That was her penance, and that was how she responded, was to tell the truth. And her name was Bella Dodd. There is a book out on that.
Yeah, I just looked it up online. B-E-L-L-A-D-O-D-D, Bella Dodd. Interesting. Thank you very much. Let's go to Susan in Orchard Park. You're on WBEN. Where's your faith at this point?
I'm a born-again Christian. I was raised Catholic. My mother was an organist in the Catholic Church in our town, and then I was the organist. So I kind of OD'd on masses. And while I would be sitting up alone in the loft, I would read some of the doctrine in the Catholic Church is so ludicrous, and it is not biblical. I finally just couldn't swallow it anymore.
So what couldn't you swallow? What was the straw that broke the camel's back? What was it that caused your ultimately leaving the church?
It was a combination. The fact that they pray to Mary. It's like if you need a doctor, you don't pray to his mother. I don't understand where that came from. It is not biblical. They believe in purgatory. Purgatory is nowhere is it mentioned. It's a man-made money-making scheme. You literally buy mass cards for people that have passed. So you pay priests and nuns to pray for people that are already gone. So much of their liturgy is man-made.
So you were a Catholic and you'd call yourself a born-again Christian now?
Yes. After I left the Catholic Church a few years later, I ended up in a cult. I was in that for a year, and that was a horrible experience.
How did you end up in a cult?
It's a very small thing. It's not a huge deal like Scientology or anything, but it was a cult. They wouldn't let me read any other books, you know, anything that they didn't approve. They wouldn't let me listen to Christian teachers on the radio because they might not approve. I literally had to cancel the vacation because I would miss a church get together and Jesus would be there. In any case, what led from that was my interest in apologetics, which is the subject of studying and defending the faith.
Did Jesus bring the pork chops, though? There's a George Carlin book. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. So you were brought up as what, and you find yourself as what now religiously? And do you think the Diocese of Buffalo is also going to declare bankruptcy Like, you might very well have been Catholic and still be a proud Catholic. You may be, or you might have been born and raised Catholic, but you left the church. You might have been born and raised Protestant and converted to Roman Catholicism. How did you end up where you are now? Where did your, how did your spiritual journey progress on your little spiritual map quest? Or would that be Google Maps? Here is Dan in Erie on WBEN. Dan, you're on. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say I agreed with what the first gentleman said, what he said about the Catholic Church. I personally think that the bishops, or the priests, rather, in the Diocese of Buffalo are not signing that letter because they still have enough skeletons in their own ponds that haven't floated to the surface yet. And there's plenty more of them that are going to go down. It just hasn't happened yet. And the time is coming for the rest of them. But as far as me being Catholic, I'm not going away. This is my church. They've hijacked it. There's criminals and thugs that are running this church and think they've got control of it, and they're going to yank us around, and they're not going to do it. I might not worship in a Catholic church every Sunday, but I have had one bishop stare me in the face and say he was sorry for what happened to me because I was a victim. And that was Bishop Sean Rowe. I have never, ever had anybody that's an ordained Catholic man say that to me. And the reason I stay Catholic is also because as I look around the Catholic Church, I actually think after being victimized that I actually saw the devil. And when I saw the devil in the Catholic Church, he was wearing a gold cross and a mitre.
And what would you describe yourself as being now?
A Catholic. I'm going to stay. I'll say this.
Even though you saw the devil wearing the regalia of Catholicism?
Yes. I told Bishop Troutman to his face that I'm going to stay a Catholic. He wanted me to tell him that I went somewhere else, but I told him straight to his face that I'm going to stay a Catholic and be a thorn in his side till the day they put him in the ground.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Lots of action here. And it is Bowerly with you on the radio on a how has the week gone by so quickly kind of a day. Let's get right back to I don't know who this would be on the hotline. I have no idea who that is, why they're calling, or what the story is. Here is here's Gina in Amherst on WBEN.
Yes, hi. So I'm calling because I was a Catholic half of my life for about 25 to 27 years, and am not no longer. Actually, some of your guests have touched on some reasons why I'm not, and actually the fruit of what's happening now is part of it. I do believe that, and I don't want this to be a Catholic bashing conversation, because that's not what I'm doing. I actually respect, I have friends and relatives who I believe are sincere believers, even though I don't agree with a lot of the theology of the Catholic Church and, you know, how it's built. It's built like a business, like a CEO and the bishop, and I think that's what's happening right now. Your first caller, I agreed with what he said about how it's set up. It's hard for them to sign. These priests can't sign. It's like signing against your boss who knows going to give you a paycheck. He's right. It's just not. It's set up this way.
Well, in the Boston Archdiocese, they had about 60 priests who signed a letter asking for cardinal law to resign back in 2002.
I'm just saying it is set up where it's very hard to go against. It's like going against your own paycheck. I do think that we might happen just like Rochester. I do think there's a good possibility that we might end up just like Rochester did.
I can't honestly see how any diocese in the country is going to be able to avoid going into bankruptcy.
Exactly. Which tells you in and of itself, the true church, the church, and I'm not saying it's Catholic, Protestant, but the church, you can't go bankrupt in that church. Because first of all, church does not mean a building or an organization. It is the people that makes the church. So the church will always go on. The true church will always be. This is just an organization, not an organism. And true church is organic. It's not an institutional. I left completely. I've been a Protestant for 20-something years now, but I have left the institutionalized church. And there's a difference. And my spirituality is everything. My walk, my faith is everything.
So what did you do? Where have you chosen to worship on Sundays denominationally?
Okay, so I don't in an institutionalized church, but I'm with Christians all the time. And when you're, and if you look at biblically speaking, it says where two or three are gathered, he is there with you when you're with true Christians. Wherever you might be, it might be at a football game. It's organic. This thing we've put mustard up in our head and made it like a business is not biblical. If you read the Bible, you will not see. And I don't want to just knock the Catholics. The Protestants have their issues too. You will not see what they have set up. It's like a business. It's not meant to be that way. That's not how the church, when you go back to the early church and you study the history of the early church, it is nothing like you see now. And I mean nothing. you come to find out why people even do 11 o'clock services in the Protestant church. And when you come to find out exactly why we do that, you would be amazed. Martin Luther liked to drink with his buddies at night, so he didn't like to get up early. So that's why we do 11 o'clock service in Protestant churches. So it's not just the Catholics. It's just, if you study...
Well, he also said the devil attacked him through his bowels, which I thought was interesting. I got to go. I'm glad you called. It is 26 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Martin Luther was kind of hung up on, shall we say, the hind end of human beings, if you read some of what he wrote. So, but we do have right now a pair of tickets for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra Saturday, December 14th, 3 p.m. at KeyBank Center. Minimum value of $90, courtesy of Metamorphic Concerts. General contest rules apply. Tickets for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, we'll give them to caller 9. We'll vary it. Caller 9 at 644-9875, 644-9875. Good luck from News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're just joining us, the Rochester Diocese has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Do you expect the Buffalo Diocese is going to do the same thing? It would not surprise me in the least if virtually every Catholic diocese in the United States of America filed for some kind of bankruptcy protection. With everything that is going on involving the Catholic Church and the fact that the majority of people around here, at least from my experience, seem to be of the Roman Catholic faith, with everything that's happening, are you still a proud Catholic? Did you leave the faith? Are you still of the faith you were when your parents brought you to church or synagogue or mosque all those years ago? Or did you change once you hit adulthood? You know, people will call into the show sometimes and say, I'm a recovering Catholic, I'm a former Catholic, or some such terminology like that. Other people have called in and have said that they were Protestant, but they converted to Catholicism in middle age. One of the radio talk show hosts I'm sure you've heard of, she has said that repeatedly. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I think the real blockbuster announcement would be that I'm leaving radio to become a Catholic priest. That would be the blockbuster. Right now, though, let's get right back to the calls on WBEN. It's Diane in Buffalo. Diane, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. Well, I wanted to say something good about the Catholic Church. I was brought up Catholic. I was, you know, my mother forced me to go. She always went. And I never had a bad experience growing up with anybody who worked for the church. You know, when you're little, you go to church with your parents. You're not alone. You're with your mom, you know, or your dad or somebody. You know, you're not allowed to go to church alone when you're real little. When you get older, you might, you know, either go to Catholic school or go to religious instructions, things like that, where you're in a teaching environment.
So are you still Catholic?
Well, I can't live up to the expectations of the Catholic Church. So, I mean, things like divorce, I mean, you know, you can get your marriage annulled. Or birth control was like, you know, a killer. I really didn't want 12 kids. you know, things like that. But I, in my heart, I'm still a Catholic, and, you know, I do see the church once in a while, I go. But I never knew anyone.
But let me just, I just have a question for you, and I'm not indicting you, and I'm not trying to put you down or make you feel bad. Given the fact that you are opposed to church teachings on at least two vital issues to the church, isn't it a bit of hypocrisy to say you are still a Catholic, even though you vehemently disagree with vital parts of church doctrine?
In my heart, I still think like a Catholic. But I can't live up to all the expectations of the Catholic Church, is what I said.
So did they chase you out, basically?
They didn't chase me out. You know, I just left. You know, I left. I couldn't keep going and be like a hypocrite, you know. And so I just sort of left on my own. But I still sometimes go to church. You're invited. Anybody could walk into the church. You can't take communion, but you can walk and sit through Mass. They're not going to do anything. You know, if you feel like you want to spend Christmas at church, the Catholic Church isn't good. They're not going to throw you out because you're divorced.
Right, but, I mean, obviously I'm not a Catholic, so I would not get full advantage and all the perks of being a Catholic, like being able to take communion or something like that.
Yeah, you can't take communion. But
technically, I'm a confirmed Episcopalian, if you want a good laugh.
Very little, you know, they might not know what to do if they're molested, but by the time you're, like, 10, 12 years old, I mean, you need to, like, go to your school nurse or go to the police. You know, if you can't talk to your parents, maybe you could talk to your grandmother. I just can't understand how this, you know, happened to some, you know, maybe if it happened once. But if it continues to happen,
the primary stuff that we're hearing about now is less about the pedophilia happening now and more about the relationships between, a couple of priests who might have bought a house together or something like that.
Yeah, well, there's always been, you know,
maybe some love letters involved.
But I don't think that's
pictures on a beach.
I think it's more of it's an unusual case. You know, I don't think it's common. When I went to church, I mean, there was one priest who smoked, and I thought, oh, my God, he smokes. You know, and you wouldn't think, you know, or they might have a drink now and then, you know, a beer or something. But I guess they're human, and, you know, maybe, you know, they feel like, you know. But, see, that would be a hypocrite, you know, if a priest is having an affair with another man. I don't know why he would stay in the church. Unless, you know.
Interesting. Or maybe why some such individual might leave the church or leave a position in the church. And whether some such individual might be seeking compensation from the church as a result. Who knows how the human mind works?
Yeah, well,
the congregation says amen.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm going to move on to some other folks on News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We do have a winner of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets, so you may stop calling in about those. But the good news, friends, is I will have more to give away tomorrow, which is already Friday, which I'm having a hard time believing. And just a real quick aside, you know, like, I'm a bandwagon Bills fan. I'll openly admit that. But when I took my Josh Allen jersey to the dry cleaners this week, you'll be happy to know that I insisted that it be ready for pickup tomorrow so I can wear it again Sunday, because my wearing the Josh Allen jersey was obviously the reason the Bills were able to pull it out in the fourth quarter. So we're going to continue that absolutely illogical good luck charm thing heading into Sunday. Not sure where Sunday's party is, but we'll find one. Actually, I know where Sunday's party is. Friend is having a pool opening in September. 62 degrees at WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. And I don't look good in a bikini. Here's Roy in Boston, New York. Roy, you're on WBEN.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say that I was raised a Catholic. I became suspicious of things and started studying the Bible, and found that many things do not coincide with what the Catholic Church teaches and what the Bible teaches. Okay, now, It's not my own interpretation, because you interpret.
What was the one most glaring discrepancy? Because I hear that a lot among people who grew up Catholic and then start reading the Bible, and they say, well, there was a glaring inconsistency. Which was it for you?
Well, I could mention 10. I could be real brief, but first of all.
Well, without mentioning 10, just give me the one that was the ring of fire.
Well, you pray to God, not to saints, angels, or Mary. You know, and secondly, Jesus warned not to pray vain, repetitious prayers. It does no good to pray the Our Father 100 times or pray the rosary, because God seeks those who worship him in truth and in spirit. And God desires to have a personal relationship with you in this life and the life eternal. But God, being holy and pure, cannot have that relationship because of sin. That sin has to be forgiven and removed, and we can't do that because we're not perfect, but Jesus was. He made the perfect sacrifice.
So at what age did you cease being a Roman Catholic?
Oh, probably in my mid-20s.
And then what would you describe yourself as now?
A born-again, Bible-believing Christian.
And do you go to a regular church with collection plates and everything like that?
No, the church I go to is a guy's touring Bible-believing church, and they do not take a collection.
Really?
That's true. If you want to donate, I mean, there's utilities to pay and all that.
Yeah, I mean, who keeps the lights on?
Right. So, you know, if you want to toss something in the basket, you do. I mean, they just have a basket at the entrance of the church. If you want to toss something in, you do it. It's up to you. They don't have a collection, and if you don't have a Bible, they will give you a brand new Bible for free.
And is this a large congregation of Christians? I mean, about how many members does this particular church have?
Well, it's a small group of very hardcore believers. There's probably maybe 25, 30 people at the most. It's a small storefront church, but they are the closest to Scripture that I ever came across in over 40 years.
Oh, that's very interesting, Roy. Thank you very much for the call. Are you still what you were when you were a kid going to church, or have you changed? And have you changed in any way, shape, or form because of the scandal rocking the Roman Catholic Church? You may very well be a very proud and maybe even militant Roman Catholic who feels as though your church is being unfairly maligned, unfairly singled out. I mean, we have a story in the news today about a Buffalo school teacher who is in deep trouble for inappropriate actions with a GoPro camera. We had allegations just the other week of a middle school teacher in the Kenton District back in the 1970s who on multiple occasions allegedly abused and misused his authority for sexual gratification. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. This is Bob in Clarence on WBEN. Robert, hello.
Hi, Tom. You mean it's not just Catholic priests that cause transgressions? I'm glad that was brought out at least. To listen to this, people seem to be unable to differentiate the politics of religion and the theology of religion. They're mixing the two up. The woman was talking before about it's a business and so forth. It's not like the old church. Well, the old church in 1300, they didn't worry about paving driveways, paying Social Security and so forth. So it's specious. You can't even talk like that. The people calling in, like the last fellow who's talking about Bibles and this, that, whatever, the complexity of getting into this is way beyond the scope of this phone call. But as someone who studied the religion and studied the theology, there's a lot of misunderstanding that's going on. I'll just say this.
Well, but let's leave on that note. I'm not hanging up on you, Bob. I got to put you on hold, though, because I've got a hard break that I have, and I want to make sure I give you plenty of time, okay? So don't go anywhere. I'm not hanging up on you, just putting you on hold so I can get back to you and give you some more time. So are you still the same faith you were when your parents used to take you to worship on the weekends, or have you changed? And if you stayed the same, why have you stayed the same? And if you have changed or converted, what made you do that? And how important is that stuff, that spiritual stuff, that faith stuff in your day-to-day life? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And Bob wanted to address some misconceptions, I believe, starting with.
Right. Well, I've stayed the same, and I've stayed the same because I've studied and I've objectively listened to all sides of the story. And academically and scholarly, the theology that I believe Roman Catholicism purports is substantiated logically and biblically and archaeologically, and however else you want to go to it. But that's not the point. We need to differentiate the theology of these religions versus the politics. And when we talk about homosexuality, pedophilia, and so forth, this is not theology. There's no Christian religion or any religion I know that accepts this. So to label Catholicism with this travesty, which is a small slice of the 2,000 years of the history, is really unfair. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry about that.
Well, in what way is it unfair? I mean, given, you know, every other day we seem to hear of a new scandal or a new potential scandal brewing within the Catholic Church, sometimes involving children, but more and more it seems involving adult male homosexuals. And if I'm not mistaken, the Episcopal Church welcomes openly gay priests.
Well, they do. That's their theology. That's we're talking theology. We can debate that all day. But let's go back to the other part of it. You say every day you're here reading about this. Statistically, out of 2,000 years, you're talking a very small slice. And also, you're looking at one of the largest religions in the world, of a billion people and hundreds of thousands of priests. So the percentages is... The studies have shown the percentage is not that different than any other religion or any other profession. And also this also, if you have a doctor who, say, has a DWI or he speeds or whatever, that does not affect his medical competence or his competence. So if you have a priest, for example, it does some kind of transgression, which, of course, we don't condone at all, that does not really change the theology that he's been trained under and he performs under, assuming he does follow the rules of the theology. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, what I'm saying. The act does not change. For example, if you have a priest that sins... And
whatever O.J. Simpson did, he was still a hell of a running back.
I beg your pardon?
Whatever O.J. Simpson did, he was still a hell of a running back.
Exactly right. The priest who gives you your communion, if he committed a sin prior to that, that does not negate the communion or the transubstantiation and so forth and so on. And the people want to debate that the former Catholics say, oh, I read the Bible, and the Bible doesn't say this. Well, the word Bible is not even a Bible. So that argument is specious, and we could talk for a long time. I would just suggest, and I won't say unless you allow me to, website or program that will answer these questions objectively, and you can challenge them as much as you want, to the point where you cannot not accept the fact of Catholic theology. And I'll just let it go with that. But you know, there's a lot of emotion. Plus, a lot of these people are former Catholics that are talking in, I'll say, bed mouthing the Catholic Church. They're really rationalizing their reason for leaving. They've got to have a reason why they don't do what they're doing anymore. So
we'll find out from them coming up in the hour ahead. Bob, thank you very much for your call. And there are certainly a number of what would be called Catholic apologetics sites online that will answer questions people have about Catholic theology. There's a book out, I'm sure there are many books, but one with which I'm familiar, Why We Are Catholic. So people's questions, and certainly there is no absence of information out there, and especially in 2019, the informational age, where, you know, I can cite two books like that and about a billion different cat videos online.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.